All right, six past. Geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, lurking conservatives. I am Mark Maron. I am in for Sam Cedar, who is upstate doing a yoga Hanukkah, a Jubu Hanukkah of some kind, relaxing, taking it easy, probably not shouting or cedaring as much as he does here in the chair, but I am filling in for him all week long here in New York, marking the anniversary of the Monday after I was fired from this company. And it's very exciting. It's almost like the last year didn't happen. Let's just pretend like something weird happened and, you know, over the weekend, and everybody I used to work with outside of two people are gone. Let's just pretend that that's what happened, that this whole last year didn't happen. No, but then we'd have to deny the fact that the Democrats took back the House and the Senate, but that's laying in the wings. But I say, Senator Johnson, as long as he can hear and blink, he can vote. Let's sit him up in a box like Commander Pike in the menagerie with a couple of lights on his chest and just go, it's red, it's no, it's green, it's yes. What else do you need to know to legislate in the great country of ours? Huh?
Half these guys don't show up for work anyway.
That's right. And the precedent has been set. I mean, there are several. Look, here's what's happened. In South Dakota Senator Republican Carl Mundt had a stroke in 1969 and then refused to resign until January 1973. And that's all he could say was no. and that's how he voted. It was his response to everything. Will you resign? No. How do you vote on this bill? No. But he stayed in. I'm saying that he was part of it. David Pryor, Democrat from Arkansas, senator, suffered a heart attack in 1991 and was out from April until September of that same year. Joe Biden, from Delaware, was out for several months in 1988. As a result from a tremendous compromise he made to his integrity. I don't know. But apparently there's nothing in the Constitution that says anything about health. But folks, let's talk to you. I want to talk to you, People of the Year, named by Time Magazine. They've named some real people over the years. Adolf Hitler was the man of the year. Joseph Stalin twice, because everybody was just loved to hate that Stalin. Harry Truman, twice. But they've done the broad stroke, you know, vague, you, them, you, like they had U.S. scientists. They had, in 1969, the Middle Americans. So if there's any prophecy in the group nomination, you will be limited to very little in the future. Middle Americans are gone. Just ask Lou Dobbs. Ask who Dobbs, what's happened to the middle class? They're being replaced by Mexicans. That's what Dobbs says. I like watching that guy, though. But let's talk to you, People of the Year. Let's talk to you. I would like to talk to Andre in Columbia, South Carolina. Are you still there, bro?
Yeah.
What's up, man?
Hey, man. I just wanted to chime in, if you give me just a second. Hey, man. I've marched on Washington. I'm out here in South Carolina on the front lines. People call me a liberal and a traitor on Air America.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that incredible?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I don't consider myself a liberal or a Republican. My question is, why is NBC, ABC, CBS shoving Barack down my throat? And how does he get so much media time? And has America gone crazy? Don't we remember what we got when we got George Bush? Don't we have to vet this guy?
Well, I think one of the reasons is he's so damn good. He's so smooth. He's exciting. People are excited that there's a guy that knows how to speak properly when he takes a microphone, that he has a sense of gravitas, that he has a message to share. They're just excited because it's so rare that you see that in a politician.
I understand, but I am not sold, and I want y'all to think before you vote for this smooth operator. I mean, let's vet this guy.
You're starting to vet him. It's 2 years away. The guy's just hanging out. I mean, Andre, I don't know if you call yourself a liberal or a conservative, but I'm starting to get a sense of where you're coming from. I mean, there's a lot of things on TV that shouldn't be, and there's a lot of things that should be, but I don't think it's he's just the star of the moment. You know, what's going to happen is going to happen. When more people get involved and when more people step up, you'll be seeing more of a lot of different people. But I understand. Yeah, don't judge. Don't be sold yet until you see how the rest of it unfolds. I appreciate your call, man. That was funny. Like, I'm not a liberal or a conservative, but y'all better. And now I'm not going to judge by his accent. I understand what he's saying. Barack is getting a lot of press, and I am suspicious myself. But where are we? Let's take another call. How about, all right, Joe in Georgetown, Texas.
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
I'm good, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm here in a park with my two granddaughters.
Oh, that's nice. And how's the weather down there?
Fantastic. 70 degrees.
And they're just, what are they, on the swings or the merry-go-round?
Yeah, they're just, you know, playing around now.
Oh, that's great.
Listen,
yeah.
Here's my point, and it's a quick one. And
all right.
What I would hope is that guys like you and Sam and everybody else start talking this up. Here's what Bush's real strategy is.
Okay.
He knows that when he leaves Iraq, hell's going to break loose.
Hold on, I'm going to write this down.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then the big part of this is he's not going to leave there during his term.
Break loose. Yeah.
Stay the course, right?
Right,
so
not
he
leaving.
He leaves, and the next president takes him out. All hell breaks loose, and Bush says, see? I told you we should have stayed the course.
Breaking loose and stay. Yep, I think that's, I understand what you're
Do
saying.
You like
so
that?
Right. So you're saying that he's going to secure his legacy by guaranteeing chaos. So after he leaves, he can go.
You got it, and that's so horrible. It's unbelievable.
But these guys that they're willing to gamble with human lives like that. I agree with you. Have a good day with your grandkids, there, Joe. Thanks for calling. Look, okay, this is somebody who met Obama. Okay, Connie in Springfield, Illinois. What do you got?
Hi, how are you, Mark?
I'm very good. How are you, Connie?
Oh, it's great to hear you again. I've missed you so much.
That's
for the
sweet.
Last year.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, too.
Yeah, what's up?
I wanted to kind of make a statement about the common touch that both Barack Obama and Colin Powell have.
Uh-huh.
I've met both of them in public situations. One, I met Barack. He was shopping for ties for himself all by himself.
Apparently he didn't find one.
Yeah, well,
the guy never wears them.
I shook his hand.
Oh, okay.
But he was at Bloomingdale's. He was picking out his own ties. And the other thing, you know, he just was very embarrassed about his success. He showed genuine, you know, I'm very happy to be here serving you. But, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, now I've got a big deal to do.
Okay, that's interesting. So, because that's something I've heard a little bit of. But, you know, when you see him take a microphone and command a room, you don't always assume that he has that I'm just a guy kind of thing. Well, that's nice to hear, Connie. Thanks for calling.
Oh, okay. You're welcome, and thanks for being there.
Okay, take care. That's an element of Barack's personality that I don't know about, and it is nice to hear that. And there's going to be a lot of conversation about a lot of candidates. We don't even know if he's a candidate. But I think the attention is, it's just exciting to see a guy. Like, I was in Boston. I was there doing a show. And I heard that Barack was going to be speaking at the JFK Library. And I really wanted to experience whatever this guy's doing live. And I'm not a concert kind of guy. I don't go to a lot of concerts. But when you feel this kind of energy revolving around a politician, I would like to know what it feels like to stand in the presence of a real leader who is not really, he's still green, but he's hungry. And he's charging people up in the way that leaders do. I can't remember in my lifetime, the last time that happened. I mean, I think with Clinton, you certainly got that feeling. But I think there's something about Obama that is actually more genuine and more focused than Clinton. I feel less of that I'm being a little manipulated with Obama than I did with Clinton. He seems to be natural in the same way Clinton was, but even less affected in certain respects. In a minute, we are going to have Jeff DiCarlo on, who's a friend of the Mark Maron shows from the old days in Los Angeles. He's a renegade tax accountant and also a biowave analyst, but primarily an at-home revolutionary. We're going to talk about Christmas a little bit. We've also got Robert Reich, former labor secretary, is going to be on shortly. But right now, I know a lot of people out there are out of work, and you might have spent your Sunday leafing through the want ads or monster.com. We want to help be part of the solution, not part of the problem. So here is our Monday Help Wanted listing. You know, I think Air America might have found the financing to continue. How do you like that? Look at this job listing, folks. Radio professionals needed. Experienced radio professionals needed by Startup Radio Network. Make that a restart-up radio network. We're looking for people to develop and staff a new morning radio show that will address topical subjects with humor. We want people who can create a unique and cutting-edge show from scratch and who can then watch with grim despondency as we destroy it. Acerbic Jews are encouraged to apply. If you've ever dreamed of pouring your soul into something only to see your dream snatched from you by the rash and witless decision of one man whose overweening hubris is a monument to conceit, then this is the job for you. The work demands someone willing to work long hours and ultimately be cast out like Lucifer, hurled into the outer darkness from which nether pole you will conduct a titanic struggle against the forces responsible for your banishment. Yet this primal conflict will give meaning to the cosmos, imbuing the bones of existence with the sinews of meaning. And from it, all history will unfold. Plus, we have dental insurance. There's dental with that. And I'm not going to mention names, but we got to go. We got to go for a break. As Ed Schultz, sir, we're right back on the Mark Maron Show, covering for Sam Seger, 17 past.
Cat got your tongue? Well, unless it's got your computer, too, you can email us at samcedarshow@gmail.com or join in the conversation at samcedarshow.com.